generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coast side, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalline.
All right, good morning, Coastsiders. Coffee's already going down the wrong hole this morning. Okay. It's Friday, May 30th, 2025. Time for some Coastal Windage. Good morning, Crystalline.
Good morning.
Okay,
I just want to acknowledge, yeah. I drink coffee the way it should be drank. I don't try to put it up my nose like you do. I don't know what that maneuver is. It's not a neti pot. It's not going to fix your sinuses.
But the caffeine gets absorbed into your bloodstream like that, and you're just
zippity-zap.
Rocket to the moon instantly. Right? Okay. I mean, I like to take the shortcuts and the hacks. I'm not waiting around 30 or 45 seconds for the coffee to hit. It's now. Okay? It's now. Summertime feels very close right now. I don't know if it's just me. It feels like I have a teenager in the house, a high school student, so the senioritis is... he's not a senior, but the senioritis is contagious. In terms of, it's not like Mrs. Truthmaker and I, actually I do get the summer off from this show, but I have other gigs and I don't get the summer off and she doesn't get the summer off, and yet we feel like, because we have a school age person in the house, that the summer vacation applies to us too, so the weather's been pleasant. It just feels like that summertime feeling. Driving into the studio this morning past Cunha, intermediate school, there's a bunch of kids out front signing their yearbook. So it just, you know, that last couple weeks of school, for me as a kid growing up in San Diego County, where it was just warm and just everything was great, and the summer was laid out in front of you at the time when kids got 3 months off for the summer instead of the, you know, it's like 6 weeks now. Yeah, it was dreamy. Exactly, it was dreamy. Summer vacations are the things that dreams are made of, really. Like, because especially in this time, before the entire summer vacations out there, and dreams of the beach and vacations and sleeping in and staying up late and going to the movies on a weeknight and things like that, they're all out there, right? And then you get into it, and come along beginning of August, mid-August, it's like it feels the opposite of like, oh, the weight of the coming school year or the, like, you know, winter or whatever is there. But right now, in the week or two before school gets out, the summer dream is just sitting there. Do you have any plans for this summer?
No, I work. Honestly, just to be totally honest, like, summer's never made sense to me. Like, even when I was in school, it just didn't make sense to me that kids got out and then now your parents have to figure out what to do with you. But I also came from a family that we did not, like, vacations were not something that we got to do. So there was nothing to look forward to in the summer in that way. It was just like me home alone while my parents were at work, trying to, like, not get in trouble, like, so.
Well, I will say that summer are the things that dreams are made of, and all of those things I said apply, but growing up, I lived out in the middle of nowhere, and literally after the last day of school, I would not see my friends again until the first day of school. Literally, maybe a couple times, maybe, but often not. And so what would I do all day? Well, we lived out in a rural property. Guess what? It was get your work clothes on. And we're out pulling weeds and digging, literally digging ditches and stuff. pretty much all day long, and out in East County, San Diego, it's over 100 degrees. It was, summers were rough in terms of it was work, yard work, like property work, and isolation because we lived out in the middle of nowhere. But we were a family taking trip, and so there would always be some big summer trip of a couple of weeks where we'd go somewhere, a nice road trip. With other things, you know, going to a San Diego Padres game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday or something, fun stuff like that. So, even with the manual labor summers, isolated manual labor summers that I had, it's still summer, and I don't know, Crystal, and it unsettles me that you're not a summer lover. Okay, but that's okay. We're all different here. All right, if you have thoughts about summer. Did we have a semi coming through the studio here? Okay. If you've got thoughts about summer, listeners, give us a call, 650-560-9851. While you're thinking about your summer comment, here's the air quality report. We bring this to you every week. We're the only live radio show that brings this to you every week. The scale, 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100 is good. Over 100 is not good. Today in El Granada, yes, 10. 16 in Half Moon Bay. 38 in Redwood City. 20 in Santa Cruz. So the entire peninsula is doing great as usual. And over on the other coast in Atlanta, Georgia, 38 today in Atlanta, Georgia. So pretty good in Atlanta as well. All right. So it's summer. Let's just stretch out our legs a little. Take it easy this morning as we stroll through this week on the coast side. Okay, whales, falcons, and hounds. Oh my. Well, before we get to whales, falcons, or hounds, how did the shopping with the baby goats go on Saturday? I saw a picture and wow. Are they as adorable as they look?
Oh my gosh. So the goats were only 3 days old.
What?
I know. Which was amazing.
Could they even walk?
Yes. They didn't get a chance to because they literally just got handed from one person to the next. I want to say big kudos to Harley Farms in making... they had their staff there making sure that the baby goats were like... You know, they had eagle eyes on those goats.
Pooping and peeping all over the place?
No, no, no. Making sure that people were handling them with care and teaching us how to hold them. And same with Marika, owner of Hometown Mercantile. So it was a very... I just want to... For the animal lovers out there, it was a very safe... They were very well taken care of.
There was no goat juggling?
No. There was no, tossing them up in the air like a baby. And and then also, I don't know if Harley Farms gives them a bath or baby goats just don't smell. I was, really prepared to, deal with farm smell. And they smelled like nothing, which was amazing. They were so soft and so cute. Oh. And oh, my goodness.
I hear you. Okay, we've got a call right now. This is Chris Lynn and Ruben, who we got on the phone this morning.
Packer of pennies.
Hey, Penny Packer. you ever held a baby goat?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Well, you've got one right there with you?
It's one of the good impressions I can do.
Oh, okay. Nice. Have you heard my Charlton Heston? Oh, no. I'll let that go. Anyways, what's on your mind, Penny Packer?
Oh, well, you were talking about road trips, and I was going to let you know that I'm taking a huge road trip this summer, and I'm going to be in your area.
Oh, really? When is that?
Late June into early July.
Well, I'll be at one of my landed estates somewhere around the world, but we should hook up. I'll have to fly back or come back on my yacht or whichever mode of transportation is available. We should go out.
I think Half Moon Bay Brewery is having a party when we're there.
Yes.
So maybe my Airbnb will be next door to your house.
Oh, cool. We could go antiquing in Pacifica.
There's no antique stores in Pacifica.
There are antique stores. Yes, there's a couple in Pacifica, and they always have a couple of nice little treasures. They're right there, listeners, on Palmetto Avenue in Pacifica. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of antique stores. And I like to go and rustle around in there, find something cool. So I'll have to take you to those stores, Penny Packer.
Okay.
Cool.
It's a deal.
Oh, nice.
I just, 6,000-mile road trip with my husband and my dog. So, you know.
Great. Well, we love to, I mean, people ask me, is Penny Packer real? I'm like, what, do you think we're using AI here on the show for callers? No. You listeners know we will never use AI on this exact show. Maybe it has been used on the periphery of the show. Yeah, that's exactly, that's my, when AI happens, instead of like that, you know, swear words, they would do that. That's what I have instructed Frank to use. If AI ever gets anywhere near the show, is it just gets bleeped out like that. That's how
You're
I feel about it.
You're more of a Luddite than Frank is.
It's close. We challenge each other on that.
All right, well, I look forward to meeting you, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I'm in town for like 4 or 5 days before I got to move on. So.
Okay, we'll make it happen. This is fun. Yeah, this is great. Love to meet listeners, especially listeners from so far away. But yeah, no, let's hook up and hit some antique stores.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, we'll count on it.
Okay, I'll see you then. All right.
All right, well, have a good summer otherwise.
I will.
You too. Thanks,
okay,
Penny.
Thanks, Penny Packer. Okay, so we've got a listener from somewhere in the great Midwest area, which I don't know. Is Texas in the Midwest? It technically is, but I think Midwest is from like...
I feel like that's more upper...
Nebraska.
Upper states.
And North Dakota East type of thing. Okay. That'll be cool to meet Penny Packer. One of our most frequent callers and an avid listener. All right, so speaking of cute, cuddly animals, it was reported yesterday on Nextdoor that a large number of whales have been seen swimming up the coast. So I put the interns on it, like, okay, whales, that's not, like, you know, unusual on the coast side here. And it's very cool when you look out and you can see, like, 3 or 4 spouts at the same time, and you just feel like, wow, that this is one of the joys of living here on the coast side. But we had the, and I put the interns on it. Apparently there's an, quote-unquote, unusually high number of whale sightings in the Bay Area this year, according to the California Academy of Sciences and the Marine Mammal Center. 33 gray whales have been sighted this year, only 4 last year. So that's a massive increase. Nobody knows why, but all right, we'll get to that. Unfortunately, the unusually high number of whale sightings might also explain the unusually high number of gray whale deaths this year. Just in the last week, five dead gray whales have been found around the Bay Area. The closest to us, one was found at Fisherman's Bay at Southeast Farallon Island, which is 25 miles northeast of here. Northwest of here, excuse me. That brings the whale death toll to 14 already for the year, 13 of them gray whales. That's the most since 2021 when there were 15 for the year. We're already at 14 and we're only in June.
Yeah, but if they're coming down in exponentially greater numbers, that's just math.
Yeah, that is math. It's
probability.
It is, but why are there so many more here? And even so, even with the increased numbers, 14 is a lot to lose. The reasons for the 5 that have died here in this week, at least 3 of them are from, quote, suspected or possible vessel strike. Yeah, you think. From 2019 to 2023, which includes the 15 in 2021, and I think there was like 14 in 2020 or something, 45% of the North Pacific gray whale population died off over those 4 years. So when we're talking about in this day and age, with an apex species or genus like that, losing 45% of the population, that's approaching like a cliff in terms of not unsustainable losses. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like any animal, wild animal population of any kind right now can't sustain losing a single member of its population because they're just, everything is just so pressured and threatened. Habitat destruction or pollution. What's killing the whales besides all this shipping that's hitting them? I would say it's pesticide runoff and global climate change, temperature change in the oceans, carbon buildup in the oceans. these things have a cumulative effect, and when you fall out of a 10-story building, it's all fine for 9 stories. And we could be in that.
You're so glib on a Friday.
Glib?
Whoa.
Oh, thank you. All right, we've got another caller who's on the phone this morning.
Hello? Look, they gave up. They totally gave up. They heard your sad stats, and they gave up.
I did not hear the dial tone, the distinctive a sound I know well from before I was married. Okay. All right. The scientists are attributing the large number of deaths to in the population to changes in the whale's food supply in the Arctic. Again, when we open up the Arctic Reserve up there to more oil drilling and stuff, and who knows what's going on up there, except for resource extraction for sure, yeah, it's going to have an effect. All right, it's going to have an effect. So back to the positive, we're just swinging people back. Remember on our January 31st show, we talked about there was a pod of 1,500 Riso dolphins in Santa Cruz?
Yes.
And now we've got all these whales? It must be something in the water, I guess. But it's nice to have... It's nice to know there's something living out there. Sometimes, like, I get gloomy about it, but okay. But wait, there's more. Peregrine falcon chicks and devil slide. Have you seen pictures of these
on
next door? So co-signers Joseph Moreland and Jan Null have posted some amazing photos. There's a three chick brood. There's a couple of a mated pair of peregrine falcons that live in the devil slide area. We'll just say that. And they've got every year they have a brood. This year they have a three chick brood, which is pretty cool. Oh, there we go. That's our sound. It's time for some falcon trivia. That's right, folks. Falcon trivia. Okay. Let's see, listeners. You only have a couple seconds, so get on your phone right now. Punch that number in, 650-560-9851. Here we go. What is the falcon's, peregrine falcon's, primary claim to fame? No? Nobody? Okay. It's the fastest creature on the planet.
What?
Yep. A recorded diving speed of over 300 kilometers per hour. That's 190 miles per hour.
Jeez Louise.
Wow. Right?
So they should be called the F1 Falcons.
Yeah, right? Okay. But there's more. What is the name for a group of baby falcons?
Cutie pies? Adorable misses?
They're pretty cute. These pictures, they're like, they're still...
Nesty Westies.
They still have their, like, downy fuzzy feathers, right? The name for a group of baby falcons is a brood. Okay, this is where it gets fun. And nonsensical. What? We're already to nonsense. We started nonsensical...
27 minutes ago.
Yeah, 19 minutes ago. Yes, you're right. What is a collective noun for falcons? And I had the interns look this up, and they kept coming back to me. There's probably 25 different collective nouns for falcons. You know, like whale is, whale is a pod or a flock. Okay, so what, anybody, give me a collective noun for falcons, because there's so many of them. Any guesses? They're pretty interesting.
No, I think the only one that I ever know is just a murder of crows.
Right, a murder? Like, where did we come from? What? That's what I'm saying, nonsensical? What? Okay, so here's a few. Collective net for a group of falcons. A cast. That's kind of fun.
All right.
You know, you're a cat, the cast and crew. Flight. A flight of falcons. A stoop. A tercel.
Is that what the car is named after?
Yeah, my uncle drove a Tercel back in high school. New Zealand? Is that
That's
a place?
It. It's official. We've gone off the rails.
I know, right? Too much coffee. Yes. Yep. Yep. That's the sound that a stoop of falcons makes right there. New Zealand has at least 10 different names for a group of falcons, including a bazaar, a ringing up, and of course an eye ass. Yes, we can say it's right here. That's a scientific name, Frank. An eye ass. Yeah. All right, other claims to fame for falcons. They have excellent vision, can spot prey from up to a mile away. Wow, I wish I could see more than a foot away. That would be amazing. They can fly up to altitudes of 10,000 feet. They can live up to 20 years in the wild, and they're found on every continent except Antarctica. All right. More cute animals, of course. Yes, that's what we do here. Paws in the Park, first annual.
Woo-woo!
It's a fundraiser for El Granada PTO. This is going to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
From 11 to 2 in Quarry Park. It's marketed as, quote, the nation's most low-key dog show. I like that. We're told on the website to expect lots of silliness and extremely lenient judging.
Yes, you can even bribe
you
the
are
judges.
You are part of this, are you not?
Yes.
So I'm
the MC.
So you're judging or just MC?
No, I'm not a judge. We have wonderful, wonderful judges. But they can be bribed. That is allowed. So anybody, bringing out your pup can curry favor with the judges.
Okay. And so as MC, are you going to have like a headphone mic, or are you going to have like a hand mic, a bullhorn? Like, how are you going to get this rowdy crowd to, pay attention to all the judging and everything?
I'm just going to scream at the top of my lungs.
Really?
No, I don't know. I don't know what the setup is.
Okay.
They said low key. We winging it.
Okay. Well, I recommend everybody go. This is the first annual Paws in the Park. It sounds like a lot of fun. There's going to be refreshments, kids' entertainment, prize drawings for the humans, including, I looked at the list of prizes. If you've ever gone on Nextdoor, there's a dog in Montana named Belle,
uh-huh,
who and her dog sibling or dog roommate, Finn, who's a little long-haired dachshund, and Belle is like a yellow lab or something. But Belle likes to swim in the water and get driftwood out of the water and bring it home. And
yeah,
so there's a huge library called the Library of Sticks at Belle's yard. Well, one of Belle's sticks has been kind of fashioned up as a piece of artwork, and that's going to be one of the gifts. There's going to be a $250 Jetty Wave gift basket, yum, and other local businesses that everybody knows, like Coastal Vine and Nasturtium, The Art of Living, they will be providing prizes and gifts. So it's really cool. A doggy glam booth and photo station, how cute. And dog show contests, including best costume, best trick, cutest puppy, and more. Just sounds like a really fun afternoon.
Yes. Being put on by a fun set of locals.
Right. And a lot of the local dog sitters and boarders and dog care companies are participating in this, of course. Just sounds like a really fun thing. I will just say as a side, though, when we were trying to get the pump track put into Quarry Park, one of the complaints that the people that didn't want it were saying is that, well, we just don't want, races here where there's like going to be a bunch of people coming to do events at the pump track. To which my and other people's response is, but that's what a park is for, is a low venue to hold events. So, of course, it ended up a concession that, there's not going to be any, like, pump track events in terms of, teams coming from around the place. But I do think a place like Quarry Park is for events like this.
Yeah.
Movies in the park, Paws in the park. Sounds fun. All right. And while we're talking about cute and cuddly and fuzzy and friendly, don't forget about bugs and the people that love them, right? Are you a bug lover?
Depends on the bug.
No. I am, really? Like, what kind of bugs would you love? Like a ladybug?
Like, I love a bee.
Yeah.
Like, I will go out of my way to save a bee.
Yes.
And then somebody in our office is very knowledgeable about bugs and lizards and those types of things. So he's educating us on our appreciation for things like spiders and lizard geckos and those types of things.
I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure lizards and geckos are not bugs. But
well, I'm just saying, like, we're learning about the things that would normally give us the heebie-jeebies.
Listeners know that we are a spider no kill household. I literally battle with my son and wife that we don't kill spiders in my house. My wife was wanting to take a spider outside the other day, and I said, we need the spiders in the house. They're the apex predator. They eat the other bugs. They keep the other bugs in line. Okay. I'm not a big bug fan, though. They basically creep me out. However, bees are adorable. However, some people do love bugs, including Una Degenhardt, who's a local young scientist who studies insects and loves them. And we had her as our Shooting the Breeze live interview host for our October 20th, 2023 show. Go and check out that show. Go and look up that show on the Coastal Windage webpage on the khnbradio.com website, because some of the bugs, there's this one bug that she has a picture of sitting on her hand that's just, I'm freaking out right now just thinking about it. But Una loves her bugs, and she's very young, but this is her life's calling. And when you come across somebody that has found their life's calling, even though I'm still looking for mine and I'm a little envious, it's also like very satisfying to see someone that just loves their topic or their subject. And so Una really, really loves insects. She's already a researcher as a teenager working on isopods, which are...
Is that like...
Potato bugs, roly-poly pill bugs.
Cockroaches?
No, okay. Not cockroaches.
Thank gosh.
No. Like roly-polies. Those little, like... They look like... Kind of like trilobites or armadillo with the like kind of armored, and then they, when you touch them, they roll up into a ball. Her research is targeting the rare and neglected and undescribed species of isopods in the western United States. Her organization has already found at least 8 undescribed species in the genus Venezio from California alone. So that's what they're working on. But that costs money, and she's a young researcher trying to do this. So she put up a post on Nextdoor asking for help for the travel and the molecular work, a crowdfunding campaign on experiment.com, which is an all-or-nothing crowdfunding platform, meaning that if they don't reach their target goal, they get nothing. It's all-or-nothing.
It goes back.
Okay. So please help Una and her fellow researchers out if you can. The URL for her page is too long, but all you have to do is type in genus, G-E-N-U-S, Venezio, V-E-N-E-Z-I-L-L-O, into your web browser, and her page will be in your top 10, your first 10 hits that return. So go look, donate the money, because as she said, well, what do we care about 8 undiscovered species of isopods? Everything is connected. We're connected in this ecosystem, and she was saying that these bugs are like harbingers or indicators of the larger health of the environment. So,
well, also it's interesting to think that there are things on this planet that are undiscovered for as long as we've been trying to discover things. So then does she also, I wonder, try to figure out, like, has this bug been around for a very long time and it's just been ignored, or is it fairly new in evolution? Because then that would be an indicator of something else.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. And you never know. Well, maybe one of these isopods will secrete some substance that, you know, solves global warming or something, you know? That's
and one. Marvel could pick it up as a future superhero. I mean, I see great futures for these things.
Right, and they're going to put some kind of like AI chip into it, and so next and weaponize it.
Not everything has to have AI.
Military pill bugs. Okay, while you ponder weaponized roly polies, let's listen to this message from our sponsor.
This is community radio for the coast side.
100.9 KHMP.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi,
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
All right, and we're back. Okay. They said it would never happen, Kristen. No, really. I was literally...
Never say never.
No, I was told it would only happen over somebody's dead body. Yet?
Here we go with more death.
That's who we are here. But the Coastal Windage Summer Mic Series is back for another year. All right, let's recap here. The format of this is that while I go on my extended summer hiatus, I gotta recharge the batteries. You know, you get worn down here after a while with all the autograph hounds and the, you know, endorsements and whatever, the celebrity parties and whatever. I gotta recharge. So over the summer, we invite members of the community to come in and host their own show. So for 12 weeks from June 13th to September 5th, every Friday morning at 9, that's the same time as usual, Coastal Windage will feature a different guest host. You know, we tweak and we improve, and what we're improving on from last year is that this year, in addition to having Frank the engineer and the interns available, you are going to be sitting in for each of these shows. It's going to be amazing. So we've got you and then a guest host each week.
Yeah.
How are we going to top this next year? You know, like this, I'm really looking forward. This is going to be fun. We're still working on the summer, on the lineup. We're nailing in some slots. And so hopefully we'll be able to announce the lineup next week. But you're really kind of the star of the Summer Mic Series this year.
Well, no, I'm here to support. Help people on their radio journey.
I mean, this is one of the reasons that we came up with this idea, because almost every single interview guest that we have on the show says one or both of these things, which is, I've never been on the radio before, I'm a little nervous, and then afterwards they're like, oh, that was so much fun, it was very exciting. And then another thing that people commonly say, like almost every person, is, I've always wanted to do a radio show. But it's hard to, especially these days, find a broadcast radio station and have the time to do it. And so this gives people an opportunity to kind of mark, some people have said that it's a bucket list thing, to mark some things off a bucket list or give it a try or see what it's like. And this is, again, not a podcast where you can hit stop and edit and stuff. This is live. Bring your material. It's happening now. Oops, what did I just say? Never mind. Move on. Right? That's words that I live by. What did I just say? I don't know. I don't remember. Looking forward. That prevents me from getting in my own head too much. So anyways, people I've talked to have said it's really fun. They really enjoy it. It also gives the community a chance to hear different voices. People, the guest hosts get to kind of conjure up their own show with their own segments. If they want to bring an interview guest in, great. Mm-hmm. You know, the same rules apply to us, FCC rules about language, you know, sensitivity about, like, you know, we're all co-signers here. Let's not go negative on people. Also, like, these topics, these segments, this is a show about the co-side, so it needs to be co-side-centric. Okay, and most people are up for that. So we're filling in slots. Slots are filling fast. But listeners, if you're interested, there's still a few slots open. So go ahead and send an email, coastalwindage@gmail.com, if you're interested, and we'll send you the available dates that are still open. Or you can call right now. If you want to schedule it in right now, go ahead and give a call right now if you're interested in being a guest host on the show for the Coastal Windage Summer Mic Series. Again, spots are filling. There's only 12 weeks. There's only 12 spots, 12 valuable golden tickets.
And that you'll be supported. So it's not as scary as it was last year. Because last year they had, you know, they had to come up with their whole hour on their own. And if you've never done it before, filling an hour is simultaneously the easiest and hardest thing to do. It's very interesting balance, but I'll be there, and I'll be there to support and talk about all the different subjects and all that. So whether the guest host brings on their own guest or not, like at a minimum, I'll be there to help.
Yeah, that's why I'm really excited about it, because it is hard to... I mean, you could, and some people will, just roll in and, like, have some loose thoughts in their head about something and roll with that. And what you find is, like, when you're doing that speech in 11th grade civics or whatever, that you forgot to read it out before, and you get there and your 7-minute speech ends up being, like, 2 minutes and 30 seconds because you didn't practice it. I mean, that happens sometimes. On the other side of the coin, though, like you said, there's people like myself that, like, you have to just, you know, literally get the hook and take them off, otherwise they'll literally talk all day. So you got to find that right mix. And so we've got Frank running the board over there with his iron fist. We'll keep you in line. And then we got Crystalline, chief executive optimist of the world, right? So it's just the interns to, you know, get you some coffee or wash your car while the show's happening or whatever. So it's really an amazing opportunity to come in and just, like, have fun on the radio, be professional, and really try to do your best show. Like, know that you're going to be supported, and spend some time and really try to, like, nail that, like, guest host appearance. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be amazing. Again, benefits for the community. It keeps our brand going, right? We had previously gone off the air during the summer hiatus, and then we tried to play some classic episodes, and classic episodes is fine. But having the live show that's what we do. We have a live show every Friday morning, so keeping that going is nice. Again, I think it's cool for the community. Many people have said that they enjoyed listening or doing it, and so hopefully more people will continue to want to do it. It continues to build KHMB's listenership. We are the biggest station, kind of a broadcasting megalith here on the coast. I don't even know if that's a real word, but it sounded good. It had mega in it, so that means big as far as I'm concerned. Local radio has been the fabric of small towns for over 100 years now, and that's why I like to participate, so it's fun for other members of the community to take the mic. Okay. I want to get to an email real quick before we get to the restaurant thing, because I've taken the interns showed me. Wow. Some things you don't expect to, like, hit a nerve or really get under people's skin or bother people or whatever, especially since over the course of 300-something episodes, like, yeah, I don't remember every single thing. And like I said, whatever I just said, it's already happened. It's like golf. I try to teach my son, golf is about the next shot, not the last shot. So live radio is about the next word, not the last word. It's already happened. There's nothing I can do about it. It's in the books. But apparently, people really took issue with my definition of icon and iconic. I mean, wow. Really? Okay. So I asked the interns to pull a representative email. So let's go. Here it is. This is from listener Funkenstrunk. Okay, Funk. Icon or idiot is the subject line. Ruben, you have no idea what you're talking about. Well, that never stopped me before. Webster's dictionary defines iconic as of, relating to, or having the characteristics of an icon and something widely recognized and well established. It defines icon as a person or thing widely admired, especially for having great influence or significance in a particular sphere. So Dua Lipa is both an icon and iconic, set and match. All right, let's just break down this. Really, Webster defines, what is this, a graduation speech? You know, this is like 7th grade speech class. Webster's dictionary defines communication as, come on, that...
No, you threw out a definition. This... kind of mean person threw out a definition as well. I mean, I don't
funk
think we need.
Strunk.
I don't think we need to throw in the word idiot. I mean, you can get your point across without throwing shade, but definition is. I mean, you can lots of different ways to get definitions and.
Okay, hold on. No. Well, okay. But I reject funk and strunk. I'll accept the idiot part, but I reject their definition because this is also from Merriam-Webster. An icon is, quote, a usually pictorial representation first used as such in 1572. I'm going to go back even further to the 3rd century or even earlier. The history of this word. It is a representation. A representation. Therefore, a person cannot be an icon because a person is not a representation of themselves. So, okay.
But they can be a representation of a genre. They can be a representation of a larger group of people.
I think representation means an image of. So, a person cannot be an image of themselves. If we're going.
So then, how do we have the House of Representatives?
If we're going figurative. Well, those are representatives, not representation. The representation is a different thing. Representatives are. People.
Are they not all derived from like the same source?
Well, I don't know. We didn't research representative. We researched icon.
Be careful what you throw out there, sir.
A representation, as in a mural, a mosaic, or a painting on wood of sacred events, or especially of a sacred individual. A sacred individual. Dua Lipa is not a sacred individual. Such as
to you, such yet people love her.
Good point. Such as Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, or a saint, used as an object of veneration or a tool for instruction. This word is borrowed from the late Latin, which borrowed from the Greek, meaning representation, image, likeness. Thus, a person cannot be an icon, which is a representation. Yahtzee!
Nazi! Oh, sorry.
Whoa, hold on.
not Yahtzee.
Word Nazi?
Not Yahtzee. Because also, as time goes on, definitions can take on other characteristics as people use them in the zeitgeist. So, it's changed over time. Great, that could have meant that in your 3rd BC or whatever timeline you were throwing out there that was so far long ago, it's not totally relevant. But things change. Pop culture changes and things can move and change.
You are so right. All examples of usage of the word icon that were presented in Merriam-Webster were all from 2025. And you're right. Language is fungible. So one has to roll with the times. Though I will counter with the iconic film Idiocracy, which predicted, quote, the English language has deteriorated into a hybrid of hillbilly, valley girl, inner city slang, and various grunts. Yes. We'll just talk this one up as a win for Ruben and move on.
No, negative.
No?
We will not.
Well, I will. In my personal tally, that's a win for me. My point was made so well that it's just irrefutable. Okay. This is, listeners, if you're thinking about doing the Coastal Windage Summer Mic Series, this is one of the joys of being the host. You can always
you can
be
just
right.
Or claim winning.
Yeah, and or have the last word. Done and done. Okay.
All right, Charlie Sheen.
Okay. Restaurant madness. That's for you for your monster truck night Truckosaurus thing.
Thank you.
Okay. This is one of the ironies and unfairnesses of life. Is the older and fatter I get, the more interested I get in eating food and being a foodie. Are you a foodie?
No, in my real sphere of people, I am dubbed the garbage disposal because I will eat many things, and I am not discerning, and all restaurants have good food in them, and I will happily eat almost anywhere that I'm not allergic to.
So we could call you a foodie in the sense that you love all food.
And I have very few opinions on it.
Okay. by, I guess, other people would say a foodie is like a...
Like, best boyfriend Jesse has, like, eaten at all the restaurants trying to figure out which one has the best pancake, which one has the best waffle, which one has the best French toast, which one has the best omelet. Like, he will actually, like, try one of everything at everything so that he has, like, this running list in his head. And then when somebody comes to visit us and he knows that they like a certain food, then he will take them to the restaurant that he has personally feels like has the best of that thing.
Wow, I feel like that would be a lot of pressure because you're like, oh, this has the best eggs Benedict. You got to come here, and then the person's like, oh, these were terrible. What do you mean? And then it's on you. Like,
I think he's got a pretty discerning palate. He's, you know, Sicilian, so food is a big part of his culture.
Okay. Do you have a maybe as CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, you're not allowed to say, but do you have a favorite local eatery?
Honestly, no. So regardless of, I mean, as chamber executive, I wouldn't want to play favorites anyway, but in this realm, it is easy for me to not play favorites because it really just depends on what I'm in the mood for, how far do I want to walk, what is in my wallet, cost-wise, is really usually what determines my lunch and dinner plans.
Taco Bell fan? You a Taco Bell fan?
I am. when I was 18 and moving out of the house, my mom jokingly gave me one of those, like, monster cookbooks, like Good Housekeeping recipes
oh,
of
right.
all recipes.
Yep, yep.
And the cover actually, she inscribed and said, here's this cookbook because one day Taco Bell will get old. And now we joke that Taco Bell has never gotten old because I still do not know and cannot cook.
Well, then good for you because...
Taco Bell's coming.
We mentioned in our January 24th episode earlier this year that the number one Taco Bell in the entire Taco Bell universe is back in action in Pacifica. They had gone offline for a couple weeks to do some remodeling.
Put in a bar.
And so have you been to since it's been remodeled, have you been to the refurbished Pacifica Taco Bell?
Yes, I've been twice. No, I've been three times, including last night.
Oh, nice. Okay. Very timely. How are the upgrades? Nice?
Yeah, it's very cool in there. It's very crowded, though, now because they lost all that seating. But they added more seating outside. So we sat outside, which seems like it was going to be cold, but it wasn't so bad. But yeah, it looks cool in there.
So that's the number one Taco Bell in the world. Taco Bell has 5,000 restaurants. It was voted the number one Taco Bell in the world. Unrelated story.
Wait, I also just want to acknowledge to to those that want to scream at their radio that Taco Bell is not real Mexican food and all of those things. Just want to acknowledge, like, Taco Bell is Taco Bell. Taco Bell at this point is just its own category. There are lots of other restaurants that serve more authentic Mexican food that on the coast side that are wonderful and love them equally. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, agreed. An unrelated story, or is it? Lindemar Beach, which is right there.
Oh, are you going to say something about the water?
Declared the most polluted beach in California.
Well, that's also one of the areas that the most people are in, so what if it's them?
I'm just saying, is there a connection between Taco Bell...
I highly doubt it.
...and the state's most polluted beach? Okay, moving on. Speaking of Taco Bell, though...
It could have the world's most polluted air. I'm sure it's very farty.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's what I'm saying, right? Taco Bell's coming back to Half Moon Bay for round two.
With a drive-thru.
I mean, people are like, well, why are they coming back? It didn't work.
Because it didn't have a drive-thru.
That was a horrible location for any fast food place. In the middle of a strip mall strip... Off the highway, no roadside sign. No, I don't know who came up with the idea of putting the Taco Bell there, but I bet that person got a demotion or is fired because that was a disaster waiting to happen. It only lasted a couple. If you can't make a Taco Bell franchise work, there's major problems there. So instead, they're moving to an optimal location, which is at the gas station there at the corner of 92 and 1. Okay,
where Dunkin' Donuts was.
Oh, I was just going to say.
For those who may not know which gas station, since there's two.
Oh, it's restaurant trivia time. Okay, bonus points if you can name the other business that was previously in that spot.
We got
Duncan.
Okay, so we've just really proven that I do not look at the notes before the...
I mean, we did talk about this in our walkthrough last night. When we're very meticulous on this show. We walk through the script every night. So, Duncan, yes, Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, again, if you can't make a Dunkin' Donuts work, I mean, what? But before that, what was there before that Coast Siders? Frank? What was there? Anybody? How about this? Will this be a hit? Dun, 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 dun.
What?
Love that chicken at Popeye's. It was a Popeye's.
Really?
It was a Popeye's, yes.
Interesting.
I know, right? Can you believe that? So people are excited. People are alive on Nextdoor about Taco Bell. But they also expressed here were some other things that people wanted there. Llamas, the Peruvian place that's up in the mall. They wanted a llama's outlet there. Indian of some kind. Panda Express. Chick-fil-A. Jack in the Box. Something healthy. Yeah. If you can't get a Dunkin' Donuts or a Popeye's to work on that corner, yeah, something healthy is going to work. Yep.
That just reminds me of Parks and Rec and Sue's Salads. The whole town was just anti-salad.
Yeah, exactly. A movie theater, somebody suggested, a community pool. Yeah, community pool, that's a good spot for it. What's your dream choice of something to go in that location, restaurant or otherwise?
Honestly, it was a Taco Bell. Just in knowing that it was a drive-thru, like, there's only going to be a more limited choice to utilize the drive-thru. So that was actually, Taco Bell was my hope, but again, I am a Taco Bell fan.
Well, in the top five Taco Bells of their 5,000, number five is a place in Minnesota that is just a drive-through, and the Taco Bell is actually elevated, the kitchen or whatever is on the second floor, and it's like an old bank where
you
drive through underneath.
Oh,
I wonder if
cool.
they deliver the food in those pneumatic tubes. You whoosh, and you just open the thing, and like there's your burrito all over the inside of the tube. Okay, so my dream choice, even though I don't eat fast food, but the obvious choice for that location would be an In-N-Out burger.
No.
No? What?
So not because of the food, but because of
the traffic. Yes,
that
good point.
The way that drive-thru is set up, that would never, ever, that wouldn't hold a In-N-Out crowd, and that wouldn't hold a Sonic crowd. Like, those are two that they get too big of a line.
They do. Okay. More food stuff. Breakwater Barbecue has taken over the Granada Depot building in El Granada. So after years of sitting empty, which nobody in El Granada can really understand because it's such a seemingly ideal location.
Mm-hmm. Very big.
It's big. It has its own huge dedicated parking lot. I mean, it just seems like the holy grail for a restaurant right there on the corner. It's the location of the old North Granada Ocean Shore Railway Depot building. Actually, the building is the depot building. It's been expanded upon, but it is the original depot building built in like 1915 at the corner of Highway 1 and Capistrano in El Granada. It has a new tenant. Breakwater Barbecue is moving from the Liberty Building, which is the yellow and blue building on the corner of Alhambra and Avenue Portola in El Granada next to the post office.
Which that already has a new business in it.
Really? It does? What's the new business?
Your mom's Haas. H-A-U-S. It's German sausage.
You don't have
sausage.
To be mean about... Don't bring my mom into it. Okay, so it's another restaurant?
Yeah. I think it's German sausage.
Okay. Let's see. So, trivia time. Okay, bonus points. Okay. Bonus points. What is the name of the business previously in the Liberty Building spot recently vacated by Breakwater Barbecue? Come on, Coastsiders. Hop Dogma. Hop Dogma was there. And then they moved over to the mall.
So that seems to be a really... That spot actually then is a good launching pad.
Incubator.
Both of them grew out of it and moved to bigger spots.
Conversely...
Oh.
kind of like the location where La Cocinera is, used to be the dead zone where restaurants went to die. Mm-hmm. Kind of that's the problem with the place there on the corner of Capistrano and One. Like, why can't a restaurant make a go there? Why is it sat vacant for so long when it's such an optimal location? Okay, here we go. Here we go. What? Name me any of the previous tenants at the spot that Breakwater Barbecue is currently now.
Well, the last one was Monster Chef.
Monster Chef. Yes. And before that?
I wasn't here yet.
Before that was a Coastside favorite that was doing great there, then moved to the spot that is La Costanera, and within a year was gone, never to be heard from again. Flavor was the restaurant that was in there. Everybody loved Flavor. It was great. Okay, so, but kudos for Breakwater Barbecue. The problem that people are saying now, it's been in the paper, they got a Michelin guide mention, and now locals can't get any Breakwater Barbecue because there's a line out the door. Good for them, you know, but can I say that I've actually never had I love barbecue. I'd eat barbecue and Mexican every day, exclusively. I don't need any other kinds of food. But I've never had Breakwater Barbecue because it just never worked out. And every time I went by there, there was a line, and I'm deterred by lines. And so, kind of like, you know, the Gorilla Barbecue place in Pacifica?
I've heard of it.
That's in the train car there?
Yeah.
I've only been there once because a buddy of mine, like, encouraged me to do it. But that, their model is they cook up a bunch of food, and when the food runs out, you're done. And so I've talked to people that have been waiting in line, and the person's come out the front door and said, "We're out of food, sorry." They don't have open out like regularly posted hours. It's kind of irregular. I'm deterred by lines, so I'm hoping that I can find a chance to hit Breakwater Barbecue when it's not fully busy. Okay. Brewco, 25-year anniversary party.
Whoop, whoop.
Somebody, I think Penny Packer mentioned that. Saturday, June 28th, 12 to 4. I got a whole thing on the Brewco because it's very interesting. I might kick this Brewco discussion to next week because the whole history of that building and that restaurant is very interesting. So we'll do that because their party is until the 28th, so there's still time for people to get in on that. Because I want to mention, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening in the next week. So let's get to that as we roll out of the end of this show. Here we go. Tonight, from 5 to 7 at the beautiful Jetty Wave Distillery in Princeton, there's a send-off for former executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside, Jill Jacobson. And a new original cocktail will be introduced.
Ooh.
So, yes, and yes on that. Sunday, June 1st, from 1 to 4 p.m., there'll be a celebration of life for Lisa Ketchum at Supervisor Ray Mueller's Coastside office in the Princeton Mall. Check that out. Thursday, June 5th, is grad night for the high school. Go sign up to help out. HMBHSgradnight.com. They need volunteers. This is to keep our seniors safe and have a fun night. It looks super fun. Go help them. Go sign up for that. Friday, June 6th is our last show of season 8, and that will happen right here at 9 a.m. sharp, as always. Sunday. Thank you. Sunday, June 8th, from 4 to 8 p.m., is a retirement party at the old Princeton Landing for Tom Cox. He's a teacher at Cunha. 37 years at Cunha. Wow.
Woo.
You can RSVP for that. Do it now. That's Sunday, June 8th from 4 to 8. And Friday, June 13th, is the kickoff of our second annual Coastal Windage Summer Mic Series. And it kicks off with Crystallin and the Coastal Butterfly, Michelle Dragony of CoastsideBuzz.com. I mean, we got to start with a bang, right? So
yes.
Michelle and you will be hosting that first episode of the Summer Mic Series, but we have one more week together, and we'll get to that. We'll talk about the Brewco 25th anniversary, and maybe we could get a baby goat in on this show. That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
That would be great. Okay, thanks for the calls. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Enjoy the promise of summer as it looms on the horizon. I know I will. All right. Have a great week, Coastsiders. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.